Hey everyone, this is your boy Daily News from the Real Dream Podcast. On behalf of Duke Mailman and I, we want to thank all of you guys for listening to us and supporting us. If you like what you hear, please follow us on our social media pages. We're at The Real Dream Podcast on Facebook. We're at TRDcast on Twitter and Instagram. And if that's not enough for you, look us up on Linktree at linktree.com/TRDcast. Thank you all for the support and enjoy the episode. Welcome to the Real Dream Podcast. I'm your host, Daily News. I'm here with my boys, Duke and Mailman. How y'all doing today, fellas?
What up?
What up? We good. Let's get this shit started.
This nigga ain't shit.
Oh, man. We got some topics that are near and dear to us. Our first topic, man, comes from Mailman. He wanted to talk about a conversation that we are having about what we say and how it can affect other people. And I found a video from the great Dr. Maya Angelou. And I want to play this clip, and then we're going to use this as to get into our topic. So let's get it.
Words are things. I'm convinced. You must be careful about the words you use. Are the words you allow to be used in your house? In the Old Testament, we are told in Genesis that in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was God, and the Word was with God. That's in Genesis. Words are things. You must be careful. Careful about calling people out of their names, using racial pejoratives and sexual pejoratives and all that ignorance. Don't do that. Someday we'll be able to measure the power of words. I think they are things. I think they get on the walls. They get in your wallpaper. They get in your rugs, in your upholstery, in your clothes, and finally into you.
Let's go ahead and get into it, man. The power of words and how it can affect people. What is your thought process on that?
When I think about words and, you know, and how we go about using them as far as the people that we love, and it also goes with yourself, like your self-talk, the things that you tell yourself. If you're constantly putting negative thoughts in your mind, you're going to end up getting negative outcomes in life. You know, I'm a firm believer in, well, here recently, changing my frame of thought and the way I speak to myself and the way I speak to people around me. Not for, you know what I'm saying, because I'm trying to placate to anybody around me or anything like that. But it's because I want to be something positive in this world. And I want to be about something positive in this world. And I want the way I speak to reflect that positivity. And so, and I also have a daughter. And so I want my daughter to know that when I speak to her, I'm speaking to her in a positive manner and that everything's positive. Even when I'm disciplining her, I don't want her to ever feel like I'm saying things that's going to deliberately hurt her. Like I say this all the time, we always worry about what society is going to do to hurt our kids, but we never think about what we might say to hurt our kids or what we might do to our kids to hurt our kids. And so I asked my daughter this weekend, I asked her the question. I said, like, this is your one opportunity. You can say and express yourself however you want to, whichever way that you want to, and tell me if I've done anything to hurt your feelings, said anything to hurt your feelings, did anything to hurt your feelings. And right now it's your time to tell me. You can tell me any way that you want to. You can curse. You can do whatever. Just express yourself fully and let me know how I've hurt you. And she, to my surprise, said, I haven't done anything to hurt her feelings. And I was, because I was nervous about that at first. Yeah. Like, I ain't gonna lie. You know what I mean? Like, because I, you know, life happens and we're not always mindful of the things that we say. Or the things that we do, you know, sometimes we do things without even thinking how it's going to affect another person. And I'm a big advocate on, you know, putting positivity out there and making sure that, you know, I'm putting positive words out there. Now, don't get me wrong. That doesn't make me a pushover. Don't think that, you know what I mean, you can come talk to me any kind of fucking way, because yeah. I know, you know what I'm saying, respect is a big thing as well. You know, and I feel like if I'm being respectful in the way that I'm talking to you, it's going to come out positive as well. That's where I'm at with it.
Yeah, man, I think that's beautiful, man. I think building a relationship with your daughter, that open, that having an open dialogue, man, and just like you said, you want to be a positive influence in this world, man. That's beautiful. That's beautiful. Duke, what do you think about this, man? What do you think about how your words can affect people?
Oh, I mean, 100%. I understand that growing up, sometimes, you know, I grew up in my pops was strict on me. You know, he grew up a certain way and he reflected that on me. So I might have thought, you know, I might have done something wrong and I was called motherfucker this, motherfucker that, you ain't shit this, you ain't shit that. And, you know, at those times, especially at a younger age, you believe those things, mm-hmm. you know. And so for a very long time, especially as I was younger, those words impacted me in a negative way because I, you know, instead of trying to work myself through a problem or through an issue, I gave up because I thought I wasn't shit or yeah. I thought, you know, I'm a motherfucker, whatever the case may be, you know. Mm. And me and him have talked about that since and we've gotten past that. But I remember those days that had happened and I can, you know, from memory, tell you exactly what I might have done and exactly what his words were and exactly how it went and exactly how it made me feel. Mm-hmm. So for me, it was I learned from that and don't do that to my children.
Yeah.
You know, I don't try to. I mean, yeah, sometimes emotion comes out and you're going to say something that you don't mean. Everybody does that. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying anything about that type of situation because shit happens sometimes. But overall, I try to make sure that I can control when I can feel myself getting to that point. I try to think back to how those things, those words made me feel.
Yeah.
And I've decided that I don't want my children to feel that way. And so I go about a different way, whether it be at the time, you know what, just go in your room. And then when I calm down, then we'll have this conversation so it can go the way that I would like it to go instead of the way that it could go right now.
Right.
So, yes, I 100% agree with that.
So, like, you take a mental, like, a pause and kind of, like, reevaluate your own feelings before you go into it.
Correct.
Yes.
You have to be mindful of your own feelings, you know, and because if you can't put your own feelings into perspective, how can you put someone else's feelings into perspective when you're talking to them?
No, facts. Mm-hmm. Yeah, facts, man. Yeah, my life has been just kind of crazy. And so, yeah, there's been lots of times where both negative and positive things that have been said about me or said to me at a young age affects and it lives with you. You know what I mean? But I'm gonna give a recent example just because of, you know, it's an idea. And so for those who don't know, I work at a rehab hospital, and because of the pandemic, we've been getting a lot of COVID, what they call COVID recovery patients, people that have contracted COVID, they're dealing with the after effects of it. And these are people that are on 10 liters of oxygen and trying to figure out how to walk again and take 10 steps without running out of breath. When my nurse tells me, hey, we're going to give you a new patient. Her name is so-and-so. We're going to call her Gwen right now. Can you go get her blood sugar? So I go down to the therapy gym and the therapist, man, they work you. I don't know if anybody's been through physical therapy. They do not. They work you to, right? Mailman knows. They work
I'm
you.
Going through that shit right now. So yeah. Are they torturers? Fuck
they, yeah, you. Yeah. They push you. They push you to your limit. And
hey, the motherfucker pulled a gun out on me. Like, I was like, what the fuck? It's a massage gun.
Okay, okay. You clarify. Clarify.
Hey, but it's a gun nonetheless.
That I was like, what the no fuck? Bullets.
Hey, that motherfucker ain't shooting no bullets, but it's fucking beat. Eating the shit out of your ass. Oh, man. Swear to God.
Plot the brew on you. Go ahead, keep moving.
Right. Get on the fucking treadmill.
Oh, run, man.
Faster.
No. Yep. No, so with this patient, Gwen, is with a therapist, and they're having her walk from one end of the gym to the other. And it's only like 20 feet, but man, she is struggling. And she's like, I'm ready to sit. And the therapist says, we got 5 more feet. Just walk to the edge of that wall and we're going. And I'm just standing there watching her. Never met this woman before. This is my first time actually interacting with her. She walks over there. She finally gets there. The therapist lets her take like 1 or 2 steps afterwards, pulls the wheelchair behind her and sits down and says, okay, we're going to check your O2. I'm going to go and grab your things. And then we're done our session. And this woman is steady sitting there catching her breath. And I walk up to her and I'm like, listen, I just want you to know something. And she's like, what? I'm like, I watched that and I watched how hard it was. And I want to let you know that I'm proud of you. And she full blown just broke out into tears, man. And you could just, and she said, I needed that so much at this time. And can I have a hug? I'm like, you know, shit, man, I love hugs. And so I gave her a hug. And man, it's just, and now I've worked with her like maybe once or twice still. And every time I see her in the hall, she's just, hey, News, how you doing? I'm like, hey, how you doing, Gwen? You doing okay? She's like, yeah, can I have another hug? And she tells me all the stuff that's going on with her in the hospital. I'm like, congratulating her, man. And it's just, you can tell that that one conversation just changed her entire outlook on rehab. Obviously, COVID is hard and people that have gone through it understand, especially this new version of it. It's rough, but man, it was just, like you said, the way your words can affect with people. And you can tell what I said to her in that moment kind of carries with her throughout her stay at the hospital. And man, it's powerful.
Words have power, man. Mm-hmm. It's like you never know how you could be damaging or uplifting somebody. But you remember the old saying, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Mm-hmm. Y'all ever heard that?
Yeah, everybody's heard that. Yeah,
yeah, of course.
Yeah, right. We don't live under a rock.
Right. You never know, man. But, you know, that statement in my eyes is bullshit because words could hurt too.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Definitely. Then also kind of what you said too, it is important for that self-love too. It is important for you to look yourself in the mirror every day, like, you know what? I'm a sexy motherfucker. Nice, you know what right? I'm saying? It's, right. And tell yourself how much you love yourself and how much you are going to be positive and how you are going to help uplift other people. Because again, there's two ways to affect human nature, and that is manipulate it or inspire it. Mm-hmm. So if you wake up every morning wanting to inspire it, including yourself, the mm-hmm. things are going to start to fall into place the way that you want them to do.
Right.
To do.
Right. Yeah.
It's a song I listen to like whenever I'm like starting to feel like, oh, I'm just not, you know what I'm saying, too feeling too good about myself. It's a song and I can't remember who it's by, but it's like, I look good today. And I listen to that song and then just keep saying it over and over again. And I'd be like, you know what? Fuck that shit. I look good today. You know right? what I mean? Exactly. For real. You get me in that mode, you know?
I'm a
self-talk.
I don't know why, but this song was like played throughout our childhood. And so every time we feel down on ourselves, we always play this song. World's Greatest by R. Kelly. I know R. Kelly is not the popular dude right now. Boy, I know.
Listen.
I know R. Kelly is a touchy subject, but listen to the song. He goes, I'm that star up in the sky.
Ooh.
I'm the mountain peak up high. Hey, I made it. I'm the world's greatest. I'm that little bit of hope when my back is against the ropes. I can feel it. I'm the world's greatest. R. Kelly may be something, but that was one thing. Maybe. That kind of, no. R. Kelly is something going on right now. But that song growing up was just one of the things that me and my brother was always like, hey man, this is it. Nowadays we don't listen to that anymore. R. Kelly bring up, you know, some different feelings
I get you. For me, it's Blackberry Molasses.
Oh yeah, yeah.
That's the one that I listen to. Yeah. When I need that, I listen to that Blackberry Molasses. That yeah. right there. That's like the ghetto version of what you talking about.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Yep. Right.
Yeah. And one of the things you said, Mailman, was you brought your daughter into it, and man, one of the things. I remember this is when I realized, one of the times when I realized, like, I'm doing okay as a parent, right? And, you know, my daughter's biracial, but she got, you know, black hair and pretty much, and, you know, afro and stuff. And, you know, she's, you know, like, daddy, I'm gonna wear my hair out today. I'm like, all right, cool, bet. I don't, you know, do what you want, you know, as long as it's healthy, your hair's healthy, I'm good. And she says somebody made fun of her at school about how her hair can't be, has to be extravagant all the time. And she sat there and said, well, my daddy says my hair makes me look like a princess, and I would rather be a princess than have my hair looking basic like you. Now, now she did not mean it like we all took it. She just looked at it like, your hair's always down. That's a basic thing. I do my hair differently. And then I had to tell her, I'm like, yeah, that's why that little girl got upset and went to the principal's office.
No shit.
I'm like, burn.
Yeah. Don't get me wrong. Daddy ain't hating on you. Daddy said, look, that was the best comeback you could have came at. But, you know, she's like, nah, daddy, you know, she logical. She was like, that's, I mean, it is basic. She just wears it down all the time. Like, what am I going to do?
She just called her a basic bitch.
Right. Yeah. In like second or third grade. I'm like, ew.
Basically. Yeah. I fucking love it.
That's why I was sorry. Like, that's sorry. Why I was like, ooh, boy, I like you. I know. Go ahead. You go ahead, boy.
But that, it's a power of words. It's right there. Just to show you. I remember that song. It's OMG by Camila Cabello.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't think I've ever heard of that one.
Hey, check it out if you get it when you got a chance to. But like, that's one of my it's featuring Quavo.
Okay,
so it's a newer one. Yeah.
It's a newer one. But like, I just don't know. It's something about that song. When I hear it, I'm just like, all right, my self-esteem started getting high and high with every lyric. You know,
there you go. That's what matters.
Yeah, and we've given out some stories about how words have affected us, but let's put out to our listeners, man, how has someone's words or your own words affected you in either a positive or negative manner, man? Hit us up on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok. You guys know where to follow us at or where we're at. Follow and just let us know, what words have you received that's impacted how you view yourself or just your life in general, man? We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back. Hey, everyone. As a parent, we all want to set our kids up for success any way we can. And that includes teaching them the value of earning, saving, and investing money, even at an early age. So when Duke introduced Mailman and I to the Greenlight card, it became something we were very intrigued in. The Greenlight card is a prepaid debit card designed to teach your kids about the fundamentals of personal finance. Using this app and card, kids can earn money through chores, set saving goals, spend wisely, and even invest. As a parent, you can set flexible goals and receive real-time alerts while your child is monitoring their own balance, setting goals for themselves, and learning how to manage their money. The app gives you complete control over your child's money by allowing you to set spending limits at specific stores. Plus, it has unique features like a savings account that earns parent-paid interest and an investing platform where your kids can invest in real time with your permission. Duke's been using this for a while. And
green light!
Yeah, and Mailman and I are just signing up as well for our children because setting them up for success is important. And we want to invite all our listeners to do the same. So if you have children and this is interesting to you and this speaks to you, please go to our Facebook page, our Twitter page, and our Linktree page and find a green light link and sign up. We're excited We're excited to share this journey with you guys, and we also want to hear how it works out for you, so let us know. And we're back to the Real Dream Podcast. We're on to a second segment of the day, man. We were just talking about how our words can affect the people that we speak to and how we the people we love and the people around us, man. I just want to switch gears a little bit and get on the relationship topic, man. I wanted to talk about how we handle disagreements and arguments and confrontations in our relationships and things like that, man. Coming up and being married and being with a woman for so long, man, I've kind of really changed how I deal with relationships when it comes to disagreeing and understanding that, like Mailman said, the words we can say and what we say can affect people, but also how we deal with disagreements, man. There's always negative feelings towards an emotion or towards a topic, and those things manifest when we have those disagreements, man. So I wanted to talk to you guys, whether it be positive or negative, how do you guys deal with
arguments or disagreements or confrontations within your in relationships as a whole in general, or in personal relationships, whether it be with your lady or with your friends or family or whatever.
You want me to go first again?
No, I could go first.
Yeah, go ahead.
So my first answer will be, we break up. That is the end of the relationship. We do not argue. No. Oh, man. I couldn't help it. We
died. I know, right? That was a good one. That was a good
one. I want tacos for dinner. But... I want burgers.
Nah, I can't
your bags.
Nah, but seriously.
That's how we argue with you.
Yep. Exactly. So me answering this question when I was immature in my 20s, that probably actually would be the answer.
Yeah, right.
Because I can tell you that I've had plenty of relationships back then. You call it whatever you want, shallow, whatever. I don't give a fuck. That's what it was. If we argued, we was done. It was just it. And that's just because I didn't understand where that person was coming from. Because back then, you know, when you're in your 20s, where you be male or female, you think you know any and everything. And you the smartest person in the room.
Right.
So if anybody
tell you nothing.
Exactly. So as soon as somebody disagree with you, you like, nah, you wrong. Fuck that. I ain't even listening to the thing you got to say. Now, me now, I'm willing to listen, even if I don't agree with it. What I try to do, and this is something that you guys have heard me say before, early in earlier episodes, you listen to understand.
Yeah.
You don't listen to retort or to rebuttal. You listen to understand, even if you don't agree. First and foremost, you don't agree with what the person says because you're in an argument anyway. But if you listen to try to understand where that person is coming from, that might get you. That gives you a better perspective, at least. And then you can tell them how you feel. And hopefully they give you that same respect by listening to understand. That means we're not cutting each other off. We're not rolling our eyes. We're not doing all that shit. We're two adults, mature adults sitting down. And that don't matter what your calendar age says. You could be mature at any age. You know what I'm saying? But it's two adults sitting down, and then you come to a conclusion, or you come to some sort of arrangement or a
compromise.
There you go. That's what I was looking for. You come to some sort of compromise, and you may not get everything that you want. They might not get everything that they want, but y'all compromise. You both gave a little, and now you're on to now you can move on and move forward and get on to bigger and better things.
Yeah. That's awesome, man.
Right.
Yeah, I like that. Good, man.
That's exactly like Duke said. Ain't arguing with a bitch. No, I'm just kidding. but it kind of is like that though for me. It's meaning, and not meaning in the sense like, you know what I'm saying. I just don't argue with my woman, and it's for the simple fact that arguments never get you anywhere. You never lease nothing to just a back and forth, and it's basically, you know, a fight for power. You know, who's right, who's wrong, and I just don't engage in it. You know, for me, if me and my girlfriend we disagree on something, we have heated discussions, but we don't argue because I refuse to argue. If it starts to turn into an argument, then I would just be like, "Hey, look, let's stop. We can revisit this later when you calm down and I calm down. This is not something we need to keep discussing right now because temperatures are flaring. We're getting hot, heated, and neither one of us is going to be willing to listen to the other one."
Yeah.
So the way I deal with things is first, I sit her down and I sit down with her. And people might not understand this, but this is really, really important. Because when somebody is standing above you and you're sitting down and they talking to you and y'all having a heated discussion, that feel like it makes them feel like you're trying to assert your dominance over them. But instead of standing over somebody and trying to assert your dominance over them, sit them down next to you, look them in the eye, and have a conversation with them and explain to them, "Hey, this is why I feel this way. This is why I feel that way. You know, this is something that you're doing that's causing me to feel this way." And now one thing you got to remember when you're doing this is that you can't disregard someone else's feelings. Just because you may feel like you
that's
may feel
huge.
Like yeah, just because you may feel like, hey, that's not what happened, and that's not what I did, or that's not my intention, or that's not how I meant it to go down, you still cannot, you know what I'm saying, dismiss the fact that that's the way that person took it, that's the way they it made them feel. And so you gotta respect the person's feelings. And when you're in a relationship, yes, you gotta respect your partner's feelings. And I'll give you guys an example. Like, this just happened the other day. So my girlfriend has a key to my place, and she likes to just pop up over here. Now, mind you guys, I live by myself, completely by myself alone. So when she pops up on me, I'm fucking freaking out. I'm like, what the hell? Who the hell's coming into my house? Because nobody fucking lives here but me. So it shouldn't be nobody just popping in. Although I know she has a key, in the back of my mind, I'm not thinking that, you know.
You think an intruder.
Yes, because she has not talked to me or said that, hey, I'm on my way. She just wants to pop up, right? And so I said to her this last time, and this, mind you, this has happened, you know, several freaking times. And so this last time, I was just like, look, you have to stop just popping up over here. And I understood that, you know what I'm saying, maybe she's feeling insecure. Maybe that's why, you know, the reason why she's doing it, you know what I'm saying, is just to make sure that everything is on the level, which is fine. I don't care about that. But at the same time, I needed her to understand that by her just popping up on me and not communicating with me that she was on her way means that I'm not expecting her, and I'm thinking it's intruder. So when I grab a strap, or, you know what I'm saying, I meet you at the door with the fucking blade in my hand, you know what I'm saying, don't be looking at me crazy because you didn't call. And right. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And at first she was like, well, I was just coming by to see you, but I'm going to go now. And she freaking left. And then the next morning she calls me up and she's like, oh, well, do you want me to just give your key back? And I was like, no, I gave you the key so that you can always have access to me. That's not what I mean. But having access to me does not mean you don't have to communicate with me as
yeah.
well.
Yeah, man.
You know, and that's how I took and that's how I talked to her. And then shit, that incident could have went so much far left if I hadn't, you know what I'm saying, chose my words carefully and set her down, you know what I mean, and talk to her in a manner to where she was willing to receive what I was saying and not be taken offense by it.
Yeah, man, it's important to kind of know, when you're talking about relationships, know how your partner communicates and how to go about it. That was one of the things I had to learn, man, early on when I was in my younger days, I guess. So, yeah, I can say that now. Shit.
Well, no, you can't.
Yes, I can. I can say that.
No, you can't.
Okay.
No,
tell the truth, motherfucker. Tell the truth.
Your younger days, you was 10.
My
what are you talking about?
Your younger days. My younger days.
Right?
Lord,
imagine like he pushing 50 or some shit.
For real. Damn, my younger days.
Now, I just say back in
younger days, youngster. You don't know nothing about a cassette tape.
No, man. Listen, when I was younger, one of the things I used to do is I used to just shut down. I used to be like, we're not talking about this now. Boom. And just be like, and just either sweep it under the rug or just never come back and address it. And that just builds up, you know, resentment and issues that you guys mm-hmm. just haven't addressed. And they manifest as time goes on. But now, yep. man, it's I'm so much more wiser when it comes to stuff like that. Now it's like you hear the problem. And things like that. And the first thing I think of is this something that we're talking about that needs a solution, or is this just you complaining, right? And I say that in a sense where it's like, I complain about my job. People complain about friends, you know what I mean? People complain about, you know, things like that, but is this something you actually want a solution to? And one of the things I had to adjust, and one of my biggest flaws when it came to how to deal with disagreements in my relationship is I always went in with an expectation of how it was going to end. You know what I mean? Whether I believe that like she was going to go with me and say, okay, cool, I'm sorry, I'm going to change, or just completely combat me and be like, no, this is it. I'm not going to do it. And that was the issue that I had. It was something I had to work on. It was one of the things. Now it's like, okay, what's the problem? Can we figure out what the actual problem is? Now, without saying the problem, what can we do to find a solution that makes both of us happy? Because obviously, if you're not doing something or are doing something or vice versa, there's a reason for it. So can we address what that reason is, what the reason I feel the way I feel? And then can we come to a solution to where there's a change where either you have to make or I have to make, or we both make, where we both are happy and it's not being put all on one person? And like, and that was something I really, really had to work on. And it takes a lot of patience, not accountability too, but patience. You know what I mean? Because like there's sometimes where I'm just like, I know you got a problem and I know you want to talk about it and you want a solution. But the way you came about it and you came to me about it pissed me the fuck off. And I just want to snap on you and just let you hear it. You know what I mean? But it takes a lot. It takes a lot.
Well, it all kind of boils down to, like, when you're in a relationship, it all boils down to one key thing, and then it's being tactful, meaning choosing your words carefully, not just spewing out the first thing that comes to your mind, and like Duke said, not listening to be rebuttal, but listening to understand where the person is coming from and what they actually saying to you. Because a lot of times, you know, the problem that some people might have or you might be having in your relationship has nothing to actually do with you per se, but you know, with something that's internal in them and something that they feeling internally, you know, that they haven't dealt with, or past relationship trauma that, you know what I'm saying, they've been triggered by and things like that. So like, you got to really sit and listen to what people say.
Yes,
and,
absolutely.
And listen for understanding, not just to react.
Yeah.
And respect each other. Yeah. No matter how mad you are, respect each other, because even if this ends up being your last argument with this person, and y'all do end up breaking up or parting ways or whatever, you always want to try to respect that person, because you never know, you may need that person again later in life as a friend. Right. You know what I'm saying? So, and back to our first segment, those words that you came out with, that person's going to remember those words. And you may need that person. They're like, nah, bro, what you said to me, I just can't get over that. So you always want to try to be respectful. When I know that's not an easy thing to do all the time, depending on what the argument is about,
and but what try your best. Done.
Yeah. Correct. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, so.
And this is just, you know, and I have no problem putting myself on blast about this, man. I have 8 siblings, and one of the things we used to do all the time is crack jokes on each other and just ream each other. And we would be ruthless and cutthroat. And I see Duke and Mailman like my brothers. And so I used to do the same thing. And I remember it came to a head where Mailman just snapped on me. And I was like, what is the problem? Obviously, I love you. And he's like, that is not how I receive that, though. Insults are insults. And it took that butting of heads of ours to really put me in check, to be like, hey, I get that I feel for this person, and I get that I like to crack jokes, but that's not for everyone. And I have to build my relationship off of who I'm with, not what I've been through, not what he's been through, but our relationship as friends and as brothers going forward, and what we have, not what I have with other people, man. And it goes back to it, man. It's about being able to sit and listen. And we had, after that blow up, man, we sat down, we had a conversation with each other. We talked, man, we worked through it. And it takes that I hope it doesn't take that for everybody, but it takes just sitting there and listening. This was like one of the things that frustrated me about that whole thing is after we talked, it was like, damn, I should have listened to you earlier. Like this, we should have had this conversation years ago. And so,
But we both had to be mature enough and ready to accept, you know what I'm saying, having mm-hmm. that conversation. Like, I realized something, too, just a few days ago that, you know, my girlfriend does a lot for me, right? And when I try to show my appreciation to her, the way I showed my appreciation to her reflected how I would want somebody to show their appreciation to me.
Exactly.
Yep. And not how she how she would want to receive appreciation. What I'm saying is, when you are dealing with people and you're dealing with your loved ones and then you're in a relationship with them, remember who they are. Remember what it is that they, that shows that they, the way that they like to receive gratitude, not the way that you want to give it. Because you can get,
go ahead.
I was, I'm sorry to interject. I was going to ask you, have you read that book, The Five Love Languages? Duke, have you read that?
Yeah.
Years ago.
There's a business one that I just read too, but it's the same exact languages. And that's exactly what it says, basically.
Yeah. And so the five love languages are words of affirmation, gifts, acts of service, quality mm-hmm. time, and physical touch. And a lot of the times, what we do as people is we show love by how we want to receive love.
Exactly.
And that's a flaw, right? And so what mm-hmm. I recommend to male men and anybody else in a serious relationship or even not in a serious relationship, you can look it up on Amazon. It's mm-hmm. called The Five Love Languages. It goes through step by step on what these love languages are. And then it offers you a quiz to show what it is your love language is. And it'll tell you what your top two is. Or you can Google it. They got quizzes online that'll tell you. And it's good that your partner knows this because, like you said, mailman, you was like, I'm giving her gifts. I'm giving her this, that, and the third. I'm spending money. And maybe that is your love language, gifts. And mm-hmm. with her, it might be words of affirmation or quality mm-hmm. time. And it's not that you don't love her. It's just, or you have love for her. It's just that you're just not showing it how she would receive it. And so it's a beautiful book. I recommend everyone read it. And so.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, man. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. Hey, everyone. We're excited to announce our partnership with Greenlight. Our Greenlight card. Yeah.
Hold on. I wrote a commercial. You want to hear it? Here you go. Greenlight. Because I use it, and they're paying me for it. Cha-ching. Bam, baby. There you go.
And that's the commercial. All right. Back to the show. And we're back to the Real Dream Podcast. We're on to a third segment, man.
Me. On the next episode of Ratchet News. Let's get ratchet. Yeah, those R's, baby. I'm rolling them bitches. What? God damn. You wasn't ready for that shit.
He did the long roll.
Wasn't ready for it.
I like how you faded out and then came right back in.
I thought he was done. The trickery.
All right, man. Today's ratchet news of the day comes out of Florida, man. Key West. The news says
we purposely stayed away from Florida for a while.
We did. Yeah. So now we're back at y'all.
North Florida never fucking fails, though, to do that.
No,
nope.
They always got some shit going on, man.
They ain't fucking reliable as fuck with the wretchedness.
Yes, they are, man. And today we are talking about a news article from NBC2. It goes, drunk man steals a floating tiki hut in Key West. man, let's get into it.
Oh, my God.
Excuse me. A reportedly stolen floating tiki hut was found near Hawk Channel in Key West, according to U.S. Coast Guard. Once aboard, law enforcement found a person who showed signs of intoxication. We'd like to remind mariners not to drink and boat, the U.S. Coast Guard Southeast said.
Wow. Go ahead. I ain't let him keep the powder going. Hold the fuck up. How did he steal the fucking thing, though? Like a floating tiki hut? How did he steal the fucking tiki hut? Like, how and drunk no less. Like, how did you pull that off, man? Like, I don't know how you fucking pulled that out. They left out. I need details.
Yeah, look, man, that's literally all the details they got on a news article. The news article basically is just a picture of the tiki hut with the Coast Guard on it, man. And First of all, why is there a tiki hut in the middle of the harbor? I don't understand that. I understand.
Because it's motherfucking Florida. That's why. Somebody thought that was a good ass idea. So they got
pickup trucks and cranes in the background. Like, it just don't make no sense to me. and who leaves the liquor on the tiki hut for just some man to just randomly be like, I'm gonna drink all this shit and just go floating?
It looks like it's a little mini bar in the middle or something.
That
was the spot, you know. But like, I don't know. I just want to know, like, why floating tiki hut?
Man, I've seen swim up bars and like resorts and stuff like that, in like the Bahamas and in like Mexico and stuff, and Cancun and stuff like that. But like, but you know, like I said, there's a crane in the background of this picture, man. I don't understand what you mean. Like, ain't nothing exotic about this at all.
No, that's what I'm talking about. Like, it looks so out of place, like a motherfucker.
Yeah. Like, wonder how long they had it for.
That's what I was going to say, but maybe it floated to there. Maybe it was actually on a beach somewhere in South Miami, and he had been floating on that sucker for like 4 days getting fucked up. Yeah, and then ended up in the harbor. And because those cranes look like shipping cranes, like they hoist out, what do you call those? Shipping containers?
Shipping crates.
From off the ship. Okay. Yes, from off the ship. That's what those cranes look like they are for. So I'm pretty sure that he floated into the harbor from off the freaking beach some damn.
For the drunk Floridian that stole a tiki hut. Ain't I just got on it and lost control and it floated to another harbor.
Hey, I ain't seen no steering wheel on that motherfucker or no propellers or no kind of way of controlling
that bitch. What was this dude's name?
It didn't have a name. He didn't have a name.
Oh, okay. I bet you him and Momo cool. Hell yeah. Yep. When Momo was with the search party looking for himself. Yep, him and Momo, they cousins.
This motherfucker stole the party bar.
Watch. There you go. The motherfuckers is cousins. Him and Momo. Moo and Momo. There you go. They the cousins. Moo Moo and Momo.
I bet he was trying to pick up women and everything with that motherfucker. Girl, I got you motherfucking party bar. Just come hang out.
you don't need no Uber. Just go ahead and swim on up. I got you a life jacket.
Because that's what a theft of property. What the fuck is that charge? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
I don't know. Grand larceny? No. It wouldn't be definitely public intoxication. But I think Florida, that's a requirement. I don't think that's a law.
Exactly.
It's a way of life.
Yeah.
In Florida. Oh my God. Florida, y'all need to do better, man. Y'all need to do better.
No, they don't, because then we ain't got no more ratchet news. So go ahead and keep doing what you do.
I swear to God, you can like just Google, because like it's becoming a thing now. It's like Florida man memes.
Yep.
A Florida man got arrested not too long ago by holding up a convenience store with an alligator.
Oh my god.
Like, come on, man. How you like stick him up? He gonna bite.
No, right? He gonna bite your ass, I promise. No, I gotta stick him on you.
Motherfuckers be tripping, man.
Florida, y'all wild as fuck, man. Y'all wild.
All right, but on spring break, holla at me though. I might have to make a trip.
Just gonna do some fucking
Listen, I ain't trying to do nothing to fucking like, you know, party buses and all the young girl people and girls on the beach. Nah, I ain't trying to do that. I just trying to do some fucked up shit. I want to be on the news.
I'm gonna leave that to you.
Daily News. You know Daily News got drunk and stole a crane down Main Street. That's the shit I want.
Yeah, you bail yourself out on this one, buddy. I'm gonna be at the hotel when you do that shit. I read about it. I don't want to be guilty by association. Like, you know what I'm saying? I have motherfuckers asking, now, where were your friends at when you do that? See, now you need better friends. You up there doing shit.
Hey, sometimes you got to let a motherfucker fall sometimes.
This is one of those times.
Next podcast going up starting a collect call from welcome to the real
truth. Would you like to charge?
Yeah. On that note, let's call it, man. Duke and Mailman, y'all got anything to say, man? Y'all want to say?
Be careful with your words. Remember to be kind, especially when you're dealing with people you love. You don't know who you may be hurting. Or you may not know who you might be helping. So just remember, be kind.
And when that don't work, just grab a motherfucker and hit a motherfucker with a motherfucker. Motherfucker.
I see you go. Jackson's
in. Hit a motherfucker with a motherfucker.
Grab a motherfucker.
Hit a motherfucker with a motherfucker. It's to hit a motherfucker with a motherfucker for me.
I'm gonna be careful. Y'all piss Duke off. He's gonna be hitting me with little midgets off the street.
Like, for real. He'd have grabbed Peanut by the both of his arms and saw his feet. So and kick your ass in the face. Oh, man. I can hear you be done now. Damn it, I did it.
He would say something like that.
Damn, dude.
On that note, man, hey, listen, Mailman Duke, listen, I love you guys. And
love you too, brother. Love you too.
Love y'all too. Yes, sir. Love you too, my brother.
And I wish y'all nothing but success and happiness. And to all our listeners out there, y'all keep dreaming. Take care.